Hi, Ragini again. Welcome to Pulling the Problem Out by Its Roots, Part 1. So in this video, we're going to continue getting to the root of the matter. So the first thing you have to be sure of is that your problem is a dilemma. How do you know? There are two options only. This seems silly to say, but you'd be surprised how often we think we're in the midst of a dilemma and we're not. If there is more options available to you to solve the problem, it is not a dilemma. If it's not a dilemma, you don't need what you're learning here. Then the problem is fixable in some other way. This work is only applicable to the category of unresolvable dilemmas. So when you've decided that it is a dilemma, then the first thing is, where is your tug of war happening? There are lots of contexts in life. We juggle a lot of balls and situations. So you want to look for, what is the context, the situation, or the circumstance? Those three words all mean the same thing. So when you look at that, if you can ask yourself, where do you feel this in your body? Okay, where do you feel it? Do you feel the tug of war in your head, in your chest, in your throat, your legs, your arms, your back, your hands, your stomach, your intestines, your feet? The reason why I want you to notice this is because we want you to feel this and do this work in your body. Understanding the concepts is one thing, but working with it to actually get a change in your relationship to the problem or to the dilemma, we want you to notice what's happening in your body. And you'll see the reason for that as we go on here. So in getting to the root, you see, your brain needs to know the problem's home address. Where does the problem actually live? So you want to pinpoint the situation or the circumstance or the context. Those three words all mean the same thing. Is your dilemma occurring at work? In your family situation? Is it happening with your friends? Is it in your primary relationship? Is it in the area of your hobbies? Is it somewhere showing up on your spiritual path? The reason you want to identify this is so your brain knows what to do with the work you're going to be doing. You've all heard of free-floating anxiety. We don't want free-floating solutions to be running around in your brain. We want them attached to the actual problem and where it actually is showing up as a problem. So in Unflappable, Six Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful, in the back of the book, I put about 150 unresolvable dilemmas into six categories. You can use these categories or not, whatever feels best to you. Success, purpose, relationship, power, happiness, and faith. They're a little bit different than the ones on the previous slide. Doesn't really matter. This is your map. You figure out what context it's in, but make sure you're clear, because we're going to use that in the next video. It's going to be important that you know it. Now, here's what I want you to do. You're going to go green here, because finding the core polarity is actually the most efficient thing to do. It will accelerate your embodiment of the mystic's wisdom, and it will save you energy. So getting to the core polarity is the most efficient and effective and energy-saving thing to actually accomplish your goal. So is it a core polarity? What do I mean by that? A fundamental issue that every human being deals with. So I've got a bunch of them listed here, and you can stop the slide and take a look at these, or again, they're in the back of my book. I call them the dirty dozen dilemmas of daily life. Everybody's always dealing with these core dilemmas. The point is, you may not actually think of it as a core polarity. You may be working on something like, should I ask for a raise or shouldn't I? Well, which of these core polarities would a dilemma like that fit into? That's one of the first things you're going to learn how to do, so that you can identify it for your brain. The second most important thing is naming you remember what IPP stands for? Interdependent Polar Pair. That's what makes up an unresolvable dilemma, right? From Module 1. So naming your set of polar opposites is chosen by you, the names, and it's very personal. So the names that you have and the name that somebody else gives their polar pair may be completely different. It doesn't matter. It's your map. How you name it is up to you. This will be dependent on your personal reality or on your viewpoint. And each word that you choose, and this is why it's important you choose it, will carry the crux of the mental and emotional turmoil that you associate with this dilemma in your body, once again. So don't get carried away with the intellectual stuff here. This is work that we're doing in your body, and you're going to see what it is in the beginning and what it is at the end after you complete the six steps. So when you name your interdependent polar pair, you want to use labels that reflect a positive substance. Negation of the positive you want to avoid if you can, right? Because, and there's a particular reason for this, that reason is because negations only exist in the mind. They don't exist in reality. So here's examples. Relevant and trivial is better than relevant and irrelevant, because those are actual experiences that you can feel in your body that have a positive substance. Freedom and responsibility is better than responsible and irresponsible. Self and other is better than selfish and unselfish. So you get the drift of it. Try and find two positive words rather than using one positive and a negation of it for the opposite. Other examples, controlling and permissive is better than control and lack of control. Material and spiritual is better than visible and invisible. Better why? Because a positive substance can be felt in your body. Okay, and you won't find a negation in your body. That exists only in the mind. So attempt to really get this here and try to work with it as you look for your polar pairs at the root of the dilemma. Mind and emotion is better than rational and irrational for exactly the same reasons. So negations, as I've said now a couple times, only exist in the mind. So it is much easier to pinpoint the bodily experience of your inner tug of war when each pole has a positive substance, even if you feel it to be negative. All right. Oh, there's that paradox again. Going to come up again and again and again. Now, sometimes the names that you choose for your polar pair are actually a strength and a weakness of a different polar pair. So I'm just mentioning this here because sometimes it actually is a problem for people. So beware of words with heavy emotional undertones. For example, holy versus evil. Those have got heavy emotional things behind them. They're just like dripping with emotional connotations. Those are going to be very, very hard to work with clearly, and it's not really a core polarity. It is usually a strength or a weakness if it's loaded with emotional undertones of another polar pair. For example, holy versus evil could be a strength and a weakness of good versus bad. Holy would be a strength of good, evil would be a weakness of bad. Even better, light versus dark, which doesn't have so many emotional undertones, although in light of the new age it might have for people, but usually good would go as a strength of light and bad would go as a weakness of dark. My point is, words that have incredible emotional undertones to it will be harder for you to work with and get clear on. So try and work with that a little bit. Here was an example of somebody, a colleague of mine, who was working with a group of people who were working with apartheid versus anti-apartheid. Well, really, that's not very good because, first of all, it's a negation. Then they couldn't find any strengths at all for apartheid. There was none, according to them, and there were no weaknesses for anti-apartheid. Okay, so this wasn't very helpful to them. So they changed it to ethnicity versus multi-ethnicity. So there's no negation there. There's more of an expansion. And in doing that, apartheid then positioned as a weakness of ethnicity, and anti-apartheid was positioned as a strength of multi-ethnicity. Hard words to say. So if you get this, fine. If you don't, just go on past the slide. You can also pause it and take a second to look at that. I had to look at it a couple times while I was putting it into this presentation. Okay, guys. Here's your homework. There was a little bit in here, but all we really dealt with was where is it located and how do you name it? That's really the essence of this particular presentation. So here's your homework. How do you know your problem is an actual dilemma? Why does your brain need to know where the dilemma is living? Or where is it causing a problem? Why does it need to know that? Why is finding the core polar pair important? Who names the interdependent polar pair that's playing out in your dilemma? And is it smart to use emotionally charged names? Why or why not? Okay, have fun with the homework, and I will see you in the next video. Much love.